It's the book entitled Soldiers of Misfortune by James D. Sanders, Mark Souter, and R. Court Kirkwood. Soldiers of Misfortune, The Cold War Betrayal and Sacrifice of American POWs is the book. Chapter 4, from Yalta to Odessa, Averill Harriman, who's an insider himself, in my opinion, dated March 14, 1945. He was U.S. ambassador to Moscow at the time. It says, quote, no arguments will induce the Soviets to live up to our interpretation of the POW agreement except retaliatory measures which affect their interests, end quote. And it says here, by the time the Yalta Agreement was signed in February 1945, more than 3,000 Americans were behind Russian lines in what is now Poland to deal with the POW. Stalin placed the head of the Soviet Secret Service, Leventry Beria, in command of the Soviet repatriation effort. The Colonel General Philip Kolokov of the NKVD, the Soviet Intelligence Group, was assigned by Beria to head the Soviet Repatriation Commission. These officers, the same men who had carried out Stalin's brutal orders during the purges of the 1930s, now control the fate of American prisoners. At first, Beria's lieutenants had no organized program for dealing with liberated POWs. The Russians, quote, marched us out of the camp and to a place where some main roads crossed. There, they told us, we were on our own, end quote, recalled an American prisoner liberated from Stalag 3C. Many Americans were robbed by passing Soviet troops. One group was marched at gunpoint to a Soviet hospital and forced to give blood before being allowed to continue. There's much more to this, and I'll try to get into this on a later broadcast to a little further degree. Soldiers of Misfortune is the book, The Cold War Betrayal of and Sacrifice of American POWs, and quite a revealing situation that we've lived all these years. And so much control never told to us, and here we are searching for truth today, and this is the problem. Hansa, before we go to commercial pause, do you have any comments?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually looking at the book. Too bad we didn't ask Dr. Douglas about this, because this is his book called Betrayed. It's a brilliant book about the US POWs, about the Soviet operations involving the U.S. POWs that were captured in North Korea during the Korean War and also during the Vietnam. There's astonishing things, and I'm just looking at Chapter 13, Planning the End of the Vietnam War, and it says this, around 1967, the Soviets recognized that something was bound to give. The United States was committed and might escalate the war at any time. Of utmost seriousness to the Soviet hierarchy, the war could escalate into a global nuclear war. This concern was triggered by internal U.S. talks about mining the Haiphong Harbor. The Soviets also feared that the United States might escalate the war against Hanoi, greatly damaging their operations and leading to unforeseen consequences. At the same time, they recognized the political climate in the United States had grown increasingly opposed to the war, and they believed this adverse climate in the United States could and should be exploited. Accordingly, they believed it was important for the North Vietnamese to open a second front, a diplomatic front. So the Russians wanted to actually bring America to the negotiating table because they were not ready. And this is the same thing with the perestroika, with that fraud, and I think it's the exact same pattern that we have to warn the American people about.
We'll be back with Dick in Louisiana. Listeners, stay with us. Okay, my friends, welcome back to the broadcast. Dick in Louisiana, thank you for your patience. I apologize for your wait. Dick, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, I'm glad to be on with you, Chris. I used to listen to you endlessly in your late night hours.
Thank you.
But your guest is strongly correct in a lot of things he says. The last caller, I think, nailed a lot of it down. There's still a few more steps above that, though.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of a, just briefly, I threw my television away in 63 or 64 and became a historian in the sense that I read almost every library out. I've studied all this stuff. And I went to college when I was going to college in 1961 up at Los Angeles area.
Uh-huh.
I had Russian engineers in my classroom, dozens of them.
Interesting.
And the Cold War was a lie and it was a farce. Russia is one of the most powerful nations. They've got one of the biggest navies. They've got the weapons. They've got the strength. But above the labor, the levels that we think about, the New World Order is still more complex than what we know. The Russians are capable of taking us over militarily if they wanted to. We're downsizing.
Militarily?
Yeah, we're getting rid of our military.
Right.
The ultimate plan, though, I think is going to include some conflict, maybe Chinese and Russian together. But the main object is just to bring the United States into the New World Order in the state they want us to be.
Hansa?
Yeah, well, I'm sort of, I strongly encourage the readers to, I mean, the listeners to read this Betrayed book because there's a lot of information. You want to know why Pentagon is downsizing? Well, maybe there is an answer right here. It says that during the Vietnam War, there were people that were already picked by the Russian intelligence over here in America in the military circles. There were potential agents of the Russian military. And so during the war, they were actually taken from the they sort of disappeared from the fighting line and were actually in some cases flown to Russia for a week training and then repatriated back to the American positions, claiming that basically they got lost. The Russians didn't want to take any chances that these people would stay any longer in the training, so it was always like a big training. Also, the some of the officers, United States military officers or soldiers, were also taking prisoners, the POWs, and some of them agreed to cooperate. They were given special treatment and special training. So basically, can we connect the dots with today the Pentagon changes in the as far as closing our bases and stuff? We have to look to these facts that were supplied by high-level defectors, including defector from Czechoslovakia, General Jan Šejna, and I'm looking at his U.S. Senate hearing statement, Senate Select Committee on POW Missing in Action Affairs, November 5th, 1992. I think this hearing was actually headed by John Kerry. General Šejna was the Secretary of the Czechoslovak Defense Council. He was tied to Soviet intelligence, and also he was part of the hierarchy that made all these decisions. And he reported in his statement that there were experiments on U.S. POWs in North Korea and also in Vietnam during those times when he was still in the position to know. And let me read a real quote here. These experiments were justified by the Soviet officials as preparation for the next war. The Soviet objective was to determine the strength and weakness of U.S. servicemen so that the Soviets could better assess the ability of U.S. soldiers to survive and operate in the rigorous conditions of all-out global war. Special experiments were devised and run to test the psychological and physiological endurance limits of U.S. servicemen. POWs were also used as guinea pigs to test a variety of chemical and biological warfare agents and drugs that were being developed for military and military intelligence use, means mind-control drugs and etc. They also tested U.S. servicemen on nuclear explosions. They tie them into chains in a circle various distances from the nuclear bomb, and then they exploded the bomb. Of course, the ones that were close basically evaporated, and as far as the distance was increasing, those people were still alive, but it was a horrible basically view what these poor people were going through. And the Russians were testing it as a scientific experiment for the nuclear war. Now, these things were never explained fully, and the Russians were never asked about this. Of course, they deny to this day that any of this was happening. And meantime, we are downsizing our military, as the caller says. That's quite correct. And I think that these decisions are made by people that could have ties to the Russian military intelligence, and basically these people are traitors if they downsize our military at a time of uncertainty, at a time when Russians and Chinese are arming themselves with nuclear weapons.
Also keep in mind the fact that we've had missile silos destroyed in our country, and the Russians have overseen the destruction of our missile silos in various parts of this country, and we're downsizing, as Dick and Hans are saying. That should be a very ominous warning to ourselves as well, shouldn't it?
What about Gorbachev?
Mikhail Gorbachev. And the Gorbachev Foundation, helping to implement Agenda 21 worldwide. Hanzo, what about Gorbachev?
Well, first of all, he was the favorite pupil of Yuri Andropov. He holds rank of KGB general. There's one thing about the collapse of communism, the collapse of the Soviet Union, as they call it. If this was a genuine thing, if Gorbachev was the guy that single-handedly brought the, realized that communism is no longer profitable for the Russians, they wouldn't allow him to live for more than 24 hours. And thus the Politburo would have him shot. There's no way that the communists would ever give up their power. They would rather see their own citizens die of hunger. Their claims, the Russian claims, that there was a shortage of money and food in Russia and all that, are simply laughable.
That's all phony.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I remember those reports in the beginning of 1990s when they were showing a village in Russia where the food was shortage of food supply and all that. That doesn't make any difference to the communists. I mean, Stalin brought 7 million people in Ukraine to forced famine, and there's 7 million that died of hunger. And he couldn't care less.
Yeah, Russia, when, we saw these people standing in all these lines starving to death, and they tried to show that on the television over here, which I don't have a television, but at least get all the news. I read all those books you're talking about, though. Everything you said earlier when you was reading it, I've already read it.
And so, Dick, what do you think of Hans's thought patterns?
Well, his thought patterns are right. It's just that I think it's a couple steps above what they want us to see. Perestroika and all that stuff was phony as it can possibly be. Russia never fell apart, and the hunger lines were just for our consumption. It hadn't changed anything in Russia with that. Russia's always had the elite communists that lived above everybody else.
Also keep in mind the people of Russia are not free to leave their country, which goes against the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which we adhere to in this country under the UN system. Russia does not, which tells you what the UN system is to us, listeners, a setup for our country. And so here we are. with Mikhail Gorbachev of the Gorbachev Foundation at the Presidio. I talked to Vicky. She's done research at the Presidio. The people in San Francisco are paying for the utilities pricing and the cost of the utilities at the Gorbachev Foundation. So what does Mikhail Gorbachev say? We desperately need to recognize that we are the guests, not the masters of nature, and adopt a new paradigm for development based on the costs and benefits of all people and bound by the limits of nature herself rather than the limits of technology and consumerism. That's Mikhail Gorbachev, chairman of the board, Green Cross International, listeners. He's here.
Does your guest realize that, you know, their neocon government that we have right now is actually a part of the Fourth Internationale, that it is, in a sense, partially communist, even though they call themselves new Nazis?
Well, I'm not really following the, let me put it this way.
I'll tell you what, keep your thoughts in place as we go to commercial pause, and Hans will answer on the other side. And certainly that's a pregnant question there, Dick. Very important to connect these dots. North Korea, U.S. are at stalemate, dated August 5th. What else is new? That continues to go on just like it did during the Vietnam War with Henry Kissinger at the peace table, the Paris peace talks. What a joke. Broadcast. We're with Dick and Hansa at this point in time. And Hansa, did you understand the question Dick asked of you?
Right. I was going to respond. Then you said something about Henry Kissinger. We already talked about him. So this is precisely what I quoted, that the Russians were interested in the peace talks in during the Vietnam era. And Henry Kissinger was accused of being actually a Soviet agent by Polish defector General Michael Goliniewski, and also there was a report that by James Angleton from the CIA Counterintelligence Service that that Kissinger refused the CIA debriefings, and also from Leonard V. McCoy, who was a leading CIA counterintelligence official, would suspect Kissinger in an incident involving the arrest and execution of an American spy codenamed Trigon in Russia. The incriminating piece of evidence against Kissinger involved an NSA intercept from the Soviet embassy in Washington. It was a cable sent by Ambassador Anatoly Dobrynin to Moscow referring to, quote, advice, unquote, given by Professor Kissinger. So now this is to tie these dots right there. Of course, the statement from Anatoly Golitsyn, who says that the Russians are extremely interested in infiltrating the National Security Advisor office. We have Kissinger, and I'll quote the article from a friend of mine, Jeff Nyquist. He put this together. It's a brilliant article, The Curious Case of Henry Kissinger. Now, to answer the question about the neocons, let me put it in the perspective here. There was a meeting in Prague in Czech Republic in 2000. Actually, it was a seminar called Freedom in Eastern Europe in 10 Years. Those present, it was organized by Civic Institute of Prague. These people are claiming to be former dissidents. And those invited were people, Richard V. Allen, Richard Perle, Frank Gaffney, Charles Kupchan, Roger W. Robinson, Christopher Donnelly, Ralph R. Johnson, and then the U.S. ambassador in Czech Republic, John Shattuck. And, of course, these people that claim to be dissidents from the Civic Institute of Prague are, of course, tied to former communists. And they get money from known or suspected KGB cadres. They get money from known communists. They are tied to the Czech government, and also to suspected KGB officers inside the Czech government. And they, of course, brainwashed these people, which I named, into believing that there's no problem in the Czech Republic, now our NATO ally. There's no problem with democracy and freedom, that the people have all they have. Now, this is exactly the problem, because once these people were involved in the Reagan administration in disarmament talks, all of a sudden they are faced with some serious questions as far as what's going on in Russia and Eastern Europe. And now we have to ask question: are they willing to answer, or are they really trying to kind of set it aside as far as you know what really went on? Because it would cause them a great embarrassment as far as their policies of negotiating with communists, with Russia. And is there anything else involved? Well, I think these people just totally failed America in terms of our national security, and they should admit so, and if they're not willing to admit so, they shouldn't be in a position of influence. That's my assessment of the situation.
Dick, what are your thoughts there, Dick? Did I lose you, Dick?
These guys are still lower-level players. Even Bush himself is not what I would consider to be one that's calling anything. And, you know, you got to take a look at what happened in Nazi Germany. I mean, did Nazi Germany really come to an end? Or did Nazi Germany get transplanted somewhere else?
That's a good question and a pregnant statement. And I'm sorry, but you're right, I think. And certainly we all do our research. And the complicity in our government to allow Korea and Vietnam to happen, to move us into Gulf War II now in Iraq and Afghanistan, who are supplying the insurgents? Well, isn't it the same players that supplied North Vietnam with their weaponry?
Right. It's all part of a game leading up to the ability, really, to bring the United States back down where they really want it to be. And unfortunately for us, that's the ultimate goal that's they're doing. And our own government is helping it. You know, all the Nazis came over here and became our CIA. Hitler had it all his gold and everything and was able to live luxuriously down in Argentina.
That's what we're told by certain sources, aren't we?
I know that, in fact.
Uh-huh. So let's continue. Huh? Let's continue with this on the other side, and we'll keep you over, Dick, and let Hansa respond. Very interesting broadcast today, listeners. 800-313-9443. Stay with us. Listeners, welcome back to the broadcast. Russian Air Force to China and India in military exercises dated today, the 11th of August. Dennis the Menace on the rampage with his information. The Russian Air Force will join China and India for military exercises. Commander-in-Chief of the Russian Air Force, Vladimir Mikhailov, said Thursday, and the beat goes on. But yet we're Dick's statement about the Fourth Reich in America, it's not very hard to think that, okay, Adolf Hitler committed suicide, the bodies were burned, obviously to deceive everyone about Adolf Hitler, correct, Dick?
Evan, well, that's their story, but if you had read that book that was written by the head of the Gestapo, the Gestapo chief or whatever the name of those books were?
No, I have not.
He says that, you know, he tells the precise story how Hitler was brought out. Him and his wife, his family, his gold. The U.S. Navy escorted him out of Brest.
Mm.
and he sailed on two submarines down to Argentina.
It's not easy. It's not difficult for me to think that that's not a true thing. The way that Second World War was and engineered, and how the Soviet Union came out on top of everyone at the conclusion.
But it was all planned.
Yes.
Russia was planned, Perestroika and all that stuff, Glasnost, that was planned. It carried out. Americans really thought we could not worry about Russia anymore.
And so here we are now with the situation at hand.
And now we've got what we're talking about today, and your guest is very on with the level of what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with him, just like that other caller said, but there's still more even above that. I'm sure the people that monitor your program are probably scratching their heads today.
let me respond to that. Because I got interesting information about the Russian involvement as far as acquiring agents of Gestapo. I interviewed Czech dissident Mr. Peter Sobulka in 2003, and I had done about 4 interviews with him for my website. It was also published by Jeff Nyquist. He served 5 years altogether in communist prisons during the communist era, almost died during a hunger strike. He held 31A hunger strike and began, after the so-called collapse of communism, began to publish his newspaper called Uncensored News. It was later forced to shut down because the communists infiltrated the distributor system and they basically brought it down. So this kind of information wouldn't be published over there. And I asked him in that first interview, you've told me that Europe is already under Russia's control. Is there any information that would confirm this opinion? And his answer was very significant. There was a lot of information. For example, according to analysis published by Uncensored News a few years ago about the Gestapo's Operation Vampire carried out at the end of World War II, and also according to analysis done by French intelligence officer Pierre de Villemarest, the Gestapo infiltrated most of the underground anti-Nazi organizations in Europe with its best agents and gave them instructions to wait until the end of the war to join European communist parties, legislative power structures, armies, intelligence services, and state apparatuses, and to keep active in implementing national socialism. This operation was, according to every available information, very successful. But after Germany's defeat, most of the Nazi intelligence archives ended up in the hands of the Red Army. So that means the communists had their names from the start. That means that the Red Army acquired many Nazi agents that could be turned against the United States. Of course, the Russians never revealed or made public any information about their agents unless these agents refused to cooperate. Only then are compromising materials published. Those agents who were ready and willing to work for Moscow were supported and protected by Moscow, and so their children and family members are still obliged to work for Moscow today. This is profitable for them because Moscow is able to get these people everything they desire. In other words, maximum success, unquote, quote unquote, in the material world. And because Western society is more and more oriented to material values and less on spiritual values, the masters of the material world are, in fact, the communists and their secret services.
Well, what education system is America adopting?
Well, yes. I mean, there's no religion involved in
that. I don't mean that. We have adopted everything that Russia does.
There you go.
We've adopted our whole school structure, even this 2-year draft thing. Everything that we've got for the future of America right now is taken right out of the books at Moscow.
Yeah, and certainly the U.S.-Soviet exchange programs starting in the Reagan administration are very prominent today as that continues. Doesn't it, Dick?
Right.
Well, there's total misconception of the danger that is coming from any kind of cooperation with the communists. As the disregard of who these people are. They are criminals. They murdered their own people. They, from my personal experience, they confiscated my family's land, forced us into being on a blackmail list, basically. And they murdered countless people. I mean, millions and millions. These people that were involved in these crimes were never punished by the new supposedly freedom-loving regimes of Eastern Europe and Russia. So, that's another very clear fact that the whole collapse of communism was orchestrated to bring America to the negotiating table, to have us disarmed, and to preposition us for a nuclear war, which we wouldn't be able to fight.
Now, here we see...
But they're voluntarily doing that. We are voluntarily doing this.
Well, my assessment, sir, is that there's a lot of people in our government that shouldn't be involved in any kind of...
Amen. I got you on that one.
Yeah, the Russians went after... My position is that the cases of Robert Hansen and the CIA counterintelligence operative Aldrich Ames, who were uncovered as KGB officers, these are the tip of the iceberg. The CIA is not warning about Russia, about Russia's military basically aspirations, and about Russia supplying missiles to rogue stations as Iran, Syria, also cooperation in the nuclear warfare between Russia and Iran, which was actually admitted by the Russians. And, of course, Russia supplying nuclear weapons and advanced weaponry to China, which is outright communist country. So this is not explained thoroughly to the U.S. public, and I think that these people in position where they have the knowledge and various intelligence data are not giving the proper answers.
Isn't it that the population of the world is being manipulated and coerced in many directions? And I'm talking about the population here, the population in Russia, as I see here, dated August 11th. The Russian Communist Party is to hold a people's referendum on 7 key issues of Russia's development and expects 15 to 20 million people to cast their votes. And the Russian Central Election Commission and Supreme Court has banned an official national referendum to the party decided to hold a people's referendum at its regional centers, it says. This is an article entitled Communist Party. Russian Communist Party expects 15 to 20 million people to vote in their referendum dated today, August 11th, 2005. And so, Dick, we're looking at a stage, aren't we?
Right. It's all when you think you see something that's the truth, you've got to look to the opposite. And that's what the real game is all about. They've done that all over again in Iraq. And he's talking about all the people the Russians killed, which was pretty terrible, as did Hitler. But what about all the people we've killed in Yugoslavia? All the people we killed on the highway of death over there in Iraq?
Oh, boy.
And all the things that we have done, dropping the first nuclear bombs, of course, which wasn't necessary.
Absolutely not.
But it goes on and on and on. Our record, if we wanted to be honest, as Americans, is not a very good record when it comes to...
Well, we can compare 100 million people dead, you know, with war casualties. So that's...
Well, keep in mind the killing fields are going on right now in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Many innocents are being killed. You do not know who your enemy is in Iraq and in Afghanistan, just like Vietnam, just like Korea. You don't know who your enemy is. And so who are going to suffer the most? The innocents. The innocent
people. You know Colonel Grand Dupree, don't you, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. What did he do in the Pentagon?
I don't recall. Tell us.
Well, he wrote several books, but he was selling rogue nations weapons. Him and a general was the only two involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And for the United States, they were selling weapons to all these rogue nations, just as Russia was.
And that makes sense to me.
For the same reason.
And see, so the point that Dick is making, Hans, is that the enemy's here, too. The enemy's over there. The enemy's here, too. It's our administration, the State Department, the Pentagon, the CIA, infiltration. And to get to the bottom of it is pretty difficult.
I'm trying to warn America about nuclear war with communists.
Oh, we appreciate that. Believe me.
Okay, Dick, he's been warning us. What are your thoughts about this, Dick? And then I'll have to let you go, my friend.
I know. My thoughts is, just like I said earlier, the ultimate play that's coming up is, if you want to go back to our good buddy head of the Scottish Rite Freemason, he said we're going to have a third world war.
Albert Pike.
In the Middle East.
Yeah, and so what is it all about? To reduce the population of the world.
Right, but it's also, the ultimate goal is the fact that the American people, they've been dumbed down for 40 or 50 years now, but we're still too strong.
The people.
The people.
Yes. I appreciate your thoughts, Dick. Thank you for your conversation. Hansa, let's move to Larry in Iowa, and we'll continue with the callers. Keep in mind the donation line at RBN 800-724-2719. Your donations are most welcome, most needed, and this is a forum that can grow and grow and grow. The listeners are here. The shortwave is good, 9.975 on WWCR. Let's move to Larry. Welcome to the broadcast, Larry.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
This is a very interesting conversation, and I think that we need to look at origins, the origins as far as funding and things like that. Who funded Lenin in the beginning?
And that's why I refer to the Anthony Sutton book, Anthony Sutton, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution.
Racial trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it all goes back to that one little fraternity that so many of our presidents have belonged to. And I have here in my hands a initiative for the Echo 92 Earth Charter, which was done almost a year before Rio,
mm-hmm.
and Agenda 21, and it spells out what the real meaning or the real purpose of Agenda 21 is. And just the very first point here, the time is pressing. The Club of Rome was founded in 1968. Limits to Growth was written in 1971. Global 2000 was written in 1979, but insufficient progress has been made in population reduction.
There you go.
And they refer to the recommendations of the Draper Fund. Well, William Draper was a Nazi. William Draper was a eugenist, and he was a good friend of the Bush family, going clear back to Brown Brothers Harriman and Prescott Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done my homework enough to know that the Russell Trust or Skull and Bones has got their hands deeply into the United Nations, but I'm sure that I'll find that with not too much effort.
Well, you're doing some good research because as I see the big picture in place, it's very similar to yours.
Right. And I'm going to try to send you this document. I sent it to Joan Bion, and she looked at it, and she said that it appeared to be it appeared to be genuine. There's one other thing on here. It talks about the policies that must be implemented. It says the Security Council of the UN, led by the Anglo-Saxon major nation powers, will decree that henceforth the Security Council will inform all nations that its sufferance on population has ended, that all nations have quotas for population reduction on a yearly basis, which will be enforced by the Security Council by selective or total embargo of credit, items of trade, including food and medicine, or by military force when required. And anybody that knows a lot about the UN or the Security Council knows that it has to be headed up by a Russian.
Yes. Yes. And speaking of population reduction, here we see it dated August 5th in the Oklahoman. Free immunizations. Students need back-to-school shots, officials say. Here's the quote. Regulations state students can't be officially enrolled until they have an immunization record, end quote, said Schofield, a former superintendent of Quinton. This is part of this reduction of the population, in my opinion. Thoughts, immunizations, and vaccinations. Larry, what do you think?
I totally agree with that. I also think that also goes to the tracking of every human being on the planet.
I can't disagree.
So that they know which side we're on. So anyway, I'll try to email this to you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Try again, and maybe you can pick Joan's brain about it and see what she thinks.
Thank you, Larry.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it. Hansa?
Well, I was... I'm sort of puzzled. I don't see how the communists would ever allow themselves to be ruled by anybody.
Well, keep in mind, we have communism in America today.
Right, right. And I'm not disagreeing with that. I think the Russians are playing us for fools, trying to pretend that, in fact, that there are other enemies of America, not them as the primary ones, but other enemies, and they are playing us for fools that they have no money, they need our money and to supply their, you know, to gain access to our credits and stuff. Meanwhile, keep in mind that one of the main suppliers of money to Russia was also Armand Hammer.
Yes.
Who was uncovered as KGB officer, basically, and the Russians recruited him. He was a committed communist. There was another connection of the Samuel Rubin, who was mm-hmm. also a committed communist. In fact, there's a connection between the think tank IPS, the Institute for Policy Study, and the Samuel Rubin Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It was published by Brian Crozier in his book, KGB Lawsuits. And so there are people that are committed communists already. Of course, I have a policy of the Russians and Czechoslovak intelligence and espionage, communist espionage, how they recruit these people, and there's also a policy that they recruit these people based on either blackmail or ideological agreement with the communists.
Stay with us. We'll continue and wrap up the show with Jeff in Massachusetts. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller following this broadcast, and we shall return momentarily. Welcome back to the broadcast. This is Poker Face. PokerFace.com is their website. Let's talk to Jeff in the socialist state of Massachusetts. Jeff, last caller of the day. Welcome.
Ah, yes. Now, as far as the Middle East is concerned, what people have got to realize is the Iranians and the Syrians, the Iranians in particular, are more sophisticated than the Iraqis, and the Iranians in particular are backed by Russia. And if we go into Iran, we might even be fighting Russia.
That's a good thought.
Absolutely true, and it is true. And I stated that, you know, the Russians were supplying these people. Let me say it real quick. In order to get Russian money and Russian military help, the Russians always required to allow the country that was asking for Russian help to allow Russian advisors, quote unquote, inside the country. That means major infiltration of the country's intelligence services. They've done it to Cuba. It was reported, and there was knowledge of it, that the Russians basically took over Cuban intelligence like that during the Fidel Castro beginning of the revolution there. They've done it to Libya. They've done it to all these Arab nations, and I stated that in that statement of Andropov, that this is actually true, and they wouldn't just release their interest in the Middle East for nothing. And, you know, once we know that the collapse of communism is a fraud organized by Russia, the whole facts are falling into place. So this is obviously very true. We are not fighting the actual people who are fighting us. We are fighting the Russian strategy and Russians in the background. They just don't want to be seen behind these operations because that would point to them as the culprits of the dangers and the problems America is facing.
Yes, and part two to that, Craig Roberts has a video to where he talks about a likely scenario happening to America where Russians launch nuclear missiles against our cities. Now, it's been said over the years that we have Russian subs off the East Coast and off the West Coast. You know, at various times, or they can do it. And the likely scenario is the East Coast and the West Coast that get destroyed, and the communists split this country right down the middle and take our bread fields, and America is doomed.
Right, and I agree with you. They were actually setting, and this is according to Bill Gerd's book, Betrayal, there was a case in Puget Sound near Seattle where the Russian suspected intelligence operation involving a Russian merchant marine vessel was setting up sort of monitoring devices on the bottom of the Puget Sound near Seattle in the Pacific Ocean, because we have Bangor Base and Bremerton Base, where are our nuclear subs, and that's our only source of mobile ICBM missiles, and the Russians wanted to monitor our nuclear submarines. When there was joint operation of the Royal Canadian Navy and U.S. Navy intelligence, when they were flying helicopter over this vessel, they got actually shot by a laser weapon. This was known fact during the, it was, I think, 1994-95 case involving this Russian vessel. The Clinton administration downplayed the situation and allowed a person from State Department to supervise the search of the vessel without searching the entire vessel, and the Russians were let go.
Jeff, thank you for your participation.
No problem.
Hansa, give me a quick call after the show, will you?
Sure.
We'll be back tomorrow with Norm Davis listeners. Tomorrow, Norm Davis. Stay tuned for John. God bless you all. Thank you.